Greetings, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and you are listening to a program emanating from thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, April the 10th, 2011. And on this program, the Mind of God program, we endeavor to rise up and out of the mentality, the mind of the ruling class, the ruling families. We endeavor to climb up and rise up out of the mind of the wicked oppressor and climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Yahshua, the mind of Yahweh, the mind of Allah, so that we may seek and find our way to come together to organize for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. And we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, revolutionary, or religious institution and organization that is of like mind. My beautiful sister Venice is the producer, helper, engineer, coordinator, and facilitator of this program and website. And I'm thankful to my beautiful sister, and I pray for her blessing and the blessing of her family and her children. You may contact me by emailing yallove@comcast.net. And as we always do, let us pause and give thanks and praises unto the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. Praises are due unto the Most High Father Creator. In the African Hebrew language, he is referred to as Abba. In the African Arabic language, the Most High Father is referred to as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the Native American tradition, the Most High Father Creator is known as the Great and the Grand Father. Also giving praises to our Most High, beautiful, wonderful, and precious Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She, Mother, Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokma. That is a feminine word referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew, chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, We learn that she, our beautiful, wonderful, precious mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. It is only the mother that conceives, the feminine, the female that conceives. In human terms, the woman conceives. Holy Spirit is our mother. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, our mother as well. Mother of the universe, mother of creation, as Father is Father of universe and creation and Father of the human family. Mother Holy Spirit, mother of the human family. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of our mother, the Holy Spirit, are Ruach HaKadosh. And that word Kadosh is the African Hebrew word for a living holy entity. And the word Ruach is the African Hebrew word for spirit, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. That word Ruach is feminine, referring and denoting Mother, Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name of our Mother, Holy Spirit, is Illa, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And that word Illa is also an African Hebrew word, also feminine. And our wonderful Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu Illa Illa Ha'il Allah. They say that is translated as there is no God but Allah. But we know that Illa is the mother and Allah is the father. Prophet Muhammad was asked, who do we honor first? He said, mother. Who do we honor second? Prophet Muhammad said, mother. Who do we honor third? Prophet Muhammad said, mother. Next, who do we honor? Prophet Muhammad said, father. So in the Islamic prayer, we see Ashadu Illa Illa Ha'il Allah Illa three times and Allah one time. Because Illa is the mother and Allah is the father. So there is none but mother and father. Praises for such understanding. So I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior. Oh, I forgot to say, Mother Holy Spirit is known in Egypt as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. And in the Native American tradition, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the great and the grand mother. I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African Hebrew revolutionary Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I, Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile Selassie I, Rastafari, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say Jah Rastafari, Haile Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. This is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested in your and my personality, thereby making our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days, in the second coming of Christ, you will see Christ manifesting in the uprising of the poor class and working class, the uprising of revolutionaries defending the poor, the afflicted, and the oppressed, making us and our names the new names of Christ, Jah, Christ in his second coming. Who is the I in Haile Selassie I, Rastafari I? Rasta don't say you and me. Rasta say I and I, the first I, representing the self, united with the Most High Creator and the creation. The second I, referring to those of the human family outside of yourself, also united with the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. United with creation. And so we say, I and I, because all of us are divine manifestations of divinity, emanating from the divine creator and creatress, living in this divine universe, in this divine physical realm, on this divine planet that we call Earth, living in this literal divine physical house that we call our physical body. Praises unto the Most High for such understanding. So we are yet in the book of Revelation. We're yet teaching out of the book of Revelation, and we have added Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 to the teaching. As we always do, we're going to go first to some issues, current affairs, issues foreign and domestic. We're going to speak of them with the mind of Christ, the mind of Yahshua, with the eye of justice. The book of Revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the book written by Africans, African Hebrews, concerning the last days. African Hebrew apostle John concerning the last days. And it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation, the English word coming from the Greek apocalyptos, which gives us our English apocalypse, which along with our English revelation means to pull the cover off the system, to remove falsehood, so that we may see the truth of the system, so that we may come together and organize on behalf of the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth, so that we may organize behind true understanding of the wickedness of the system and stand for the oppressed. So Jesus means justice, deliverance, liberty. Christ means that spirit to deliver the oppressed. And Jesus again means health and wealth. And so we want to return health and wealth to the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. So some various issues, foreign and domestic. As we look at these issues going on in Africa, going on inside of North America, going on in Haiti, international issues and also domestic issues. We want to connect these issues. We want to see how these issues connect and see that this is not only a foreign problem, but the foreign problem is connected to the domestic problem of the United States of North America. And so we have to, as Minister Malcolm X said when he was among us, study what's going on overseas to understand what is going on here in the United States of North America. We are witnessing the uprising of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed internationally and domestically. This is the second coming of justice. The people are rising up with the mentality of justice. And we see that this fight against the working class and poor class and working poor, this fight against the second coming, this fight against the uprising of Jesus in the people, this fight orchestrated by the synagogue of Satan, Gog and Magog, Hyksos, Ashkenazi, and including Vatican City as well. We want to recognize Cesar Chavez. On March the 31st was Cesar Chavez's birthday. And that dear, they call him a Latino, but that dear brother of indigenous descent of the Western Hemisphere, Brother Cesar Chavez, worked on behalf of immigrant rights, worked on behalf of workers' rights, worked on behalf of farm workers' rights. Our so-called Latino sisters and brothers on farms doing back-breaking work, picking fruit and picking other foods that we go to the supermarket and buy and purchase, working for a pittance, working and being exploited by the owners of the farming plantations. You see, it's all about land, wealth, and resources and the exploitation of the poor working class sisters and brothers internationally and domestically. So we recognize our brother Cesar Chavez for standing up and organizing along with other organizers on behalf of immigrants, on behalf of farm workers, and in general, workers' rights. We want to recognize our dear brother elder ancestor, and Cesar Chavez is our brother elder ancestor, but we also want to recognize our dear brother elder ancestor, Dr. King. On April the 4th was the 43rd year since the assassination of our dear brother elder ancestor, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And on April the 4th of this year, 2011, unions got together. The AFL, the CIO, the UAW, and I'm a member of the UAW. The unions got together. Public unions, private unions, workers in and out of unions got together to recognize and honor Dr. King for coming to Memphis in April of 1968 and attempting to work on behalf of sanitation union workers. Black men, part of the sanitation union, being blocked out of earning a decent pay, were organizing to fight and organize for a decent pay. And Dr. King, in April of 1968, went to Memphis, Tennessee to stand with sanitation union workers, so-called garbage men. So unions got together this year, April 4th, to honor Dr. King for working on behalf of unions. And I heard a speech that Dr. King, part of a speech that Dr. King gave, and he said to unions, I believe it was Chicago, talking about you're going to have to escalate and think about a work stoppage. And sisters and brothers, workers all over the United States of North America, we are going to have to come together more so than ever before and think about different strategies that we can use so that we can force the powers to do right by the people, whether you are a member of a union or not a member of a union. We want to all work together so that all of us may be lifted up. And we want to keep in mind that we want to stand against exploitation all over the earth, for this is an international movement. We also want to recognize our brother, elder, recently transitioned to the ancestors, Manning Marable, professor and scholar Manning Marable. This brother has spent probably 20 years of his life researching the life of Minister Malcolm X, and he has just passed away from us, and it is painful. He was working on a book, Malcolm X, The Life of Malcolm X, The Reinvention. Malcolm X, Life and Reinvention. I don't have that title correct right now, but I have it correctly in my summary page. But he passed, Manning Marable passed on April the 1st. And this book, I've just purchased it. I will be reading it very soon. It's going to go into detail about the life of Minister Malcolm X, giving us the truth about the life of Minister Malcolm X. And we know that Minister Malcolm X stood for freedom, justice, equality, universal human rights, and was slain as Dr. King was slain for such stance. And so we recognize Manning Marable. And as I understand from Minister Akbar Muhammad, who has a program in St. Louis, Missouri, I just listened to that program, that Manning Marable interviewed our brother minister Farrakhan for 3, 4, 5 hours. I believe also talked to Minister Akbar concerning Minister Malcolm X to get even more of the truth concerning the conspiracies of the FBI and the CIA in the assassination of Minister Malcolm, and also that tapes of Minister Malcolm's speeches in the nation have been handed over, or were they were handed over to Manning Marable from Minister Akbar Muhammad, and Manning Marable had them transcribed, and we will see some of those speeches given by Minister Malcolm X while in the nation, transcribed in the book Malcolm X, Life of Reinvention. Let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your Minister of Information. This is the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, April the 10th, 2011. So we recognize our brother elder now with the ancestors Manning Marable. Now let us hurriedly move on. Flashpoints. April 4th, 2011. We learn of the fraudulent elections held in Haiti. These fraudulent elections backed by the Obama administration. The winner of these fraudulent elections. You see, we must understand and know that Obama is not working on behalf of the people. He is working on behalf of the bankers and the multinational mineral resource mining corporations. The winner of these fraudulent elections in Haiti, Michel Martelly. Now, as we have been stating for a very long time, the largest political party in Haiti, Family Lavalas, the party that elected Jean-Bertrand Aristide twice, and twice Jean-Bertrand Aristide was overthrown by the United States of North America. First, Herbert Walker Bush, and second, the second time, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton in the middle helped to continue such overthrow of duly elected Jean-Bertrand Aristide. So in this time, Family Lavalas banned from the elections, and that ban is upheld by the Obama administration. So these were fraudulent elections. You see, the idea is to reduce the election pool. Those that would participate in the elections, reduce them to a smaller percentage and number so that you may control the elections better. So why these fraudulent elections backed by the Obama administration and the United States of North America? Why? What is this for? And what happened to all of the monies raised for Haiti since that earthquake that occurred in, I believe it was 2009 or early 2010? But you recall that great earthquake that occurred in Haiti, and so many died, so many homeless. What happened to all of those monies? Those monies are being used and facilitated by Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. These monies are being facilitated for the new infrastructure that is being built by London, the London banks, the House of Rothschilds, being built by also the Oppenheimers, the heads of the Mineral Resource International Mining Corporations, because there's gold, there's oil, and that those resources are being stolen by the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the bankers in Wall Street and the International Mineral Resource Mining Corporations, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush in Haiti to facilitate such, and to also continue the sweatshop slave labor in Haiti. And this is all being buttressed and backed by the Obama administration. Next issue. Flashpoints again. April 4th, 2011. We learn from Pepe Escobar concerning a secret deal between the United States of America and Saudi Arabia. That Saudi Arabia agreed to send troops in Bahrain, in the so-called Middle East, Northeast Africa, so-called Middle East, on behalf of America, and America would along with NATO and European forces, bomb Libya on behalf of Saudi Arabia. The line of thinking from Pepe Escobar being that Saudi Arabia feels threatened by Libya and do not want to see Libya strong and allied with Shiite Iran and other Shiites in the region. You have oil in Saudi Arabia in the vicinity of Shiites, and so Saudi Arabia, the royal house, feels threatened by Libya and said, we'll take care of Bahrain, send troops to Bahrain for you, America, and you go ahead and take care of Libya for us. Now, the point I want to make is this, because there are some that say no such deal took place, but we know that Saudi Arabian troops are in Bahrain. And we know that America is, along with France and along with NATO, bombing Libya. What we want to say is this: all of this is being done on behalf of the synagogue of Satan, the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, these imposter Jews, imposter Hebrews, who are the synagogue of Satan that Jesus talks about in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, where Jesus says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. These killings occurring in Bahrain. Protesters want to change in Bahrain, in their government, but there are United States military installations in Bahrain, military base in Bahrain. And so the man who is the head of state in Bahrain is backed by America. Saudi Arabia is a friend of America. There is some conflict as to how to rule, but nevertheless, Saudi Arabia is a friend of America and is in Bahrain to do America's bidding. But ultimately, it's the synagogue of Satan running the show, putting down, attempting to squash the second coming of Christ in the protesters, in the uprising of the people, in Libya, to arm rebels through the CIA, to split Libya and separate the oil wealth in Benghazi from Gaddafi, because Gaddafi has been a revolutionary, has supported revolution. So all of this action going on to take land, wealth, and resources, to secure land, wealth, and resources. You see, sisters and brothers of you who are Muslims, we have to realize that Saudi Arabia, the royal house of Saudi Arabia, they use Islam like the Jews, ruling class and ruling families, use Judaism like the same ruling class and families in Christianity use Christianity. They have all made a pact. We're talking about ruling class Muslims, ruling class Jews, ruling class Christians, ruling class Buddhists and Hindus and so on. They've made a pact. These are the synagogue of Satan. So we must come out and call them out and speak the truth concerning the reality of the synagogue of Satan. Moving now to Ivory Coast, Africa Today, and the Taylor Report. I believe that was April the 4th again. And I'll have these programs in my summary page. They talked about Ivory Coast. And you see, the same action going on in Libya. Infiltration in meddling in other people's affairs by the United States, by France, by Europe, and so on. It's going on in Ivory Coast. In the year 2000 and 2002, in that time period, the same two players, Laurent Gbagbo and Alassane Ouattara, vying for positions of power. At that time, France chose Gbagbo, but it is suspected that France also backed Alassane Ouattara, and warfare broke out, and France seems to be at that time armed both sides, supported both sides. Why? Because they don't care who wins. You see, the House of Rothschilds, the synagogue of Satan, is orchestrating all of this, and they do not care who wins the war. They fund, finance, and weaponize all sides. House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, they fund, finance, and weaponize all sides. And so this warfare that occurred in Ivory Coast in the year 2000, 2002, in that time period, was for land, wealth, and resources. The issues in France, in Ivory Coast, we have warfare, we have colonialism. You understand, all the boundaries and borders drawn in Africa were drawn by the old colonial powers. France among them, United States, Belgium, Germany, the Vatican City, the Pope. Go and research the Berlin Conference of the late 1800s. You see, all of these boundaries were drawn by the old colonial powers, not for the benefit of the people, but for the benefit of the ruling class and ruling families, the synagogue of Satan. We also have to understand that cocoa, that chocolate that we love so much, most of it comes from the Ivory Coast. And so France, along with Europe and America, want to control the land, the wealth, the resources, particularly here, cocoa. There is a situation of workers and immigrants, because during the time of colonialism, workers were brought in from various places to work the farmland, to work the plantations, to work the cocoa plantations. So we have a dispute between the north in Ivory Coast. I believe the north is controlled by Ouattara and the south is controlled by Gbagbo. I believe that's true. If it's not, then it's the reverse. But we have North Ivory Coast against South Ivory Coast. Well, this is artificial. All Africans all over the earth must say one Africa, no boundaries. Everyone get equal access to the land, the wealth, the resources. Workers International should say to all Workers International, let's all work together to erase the boundaries. The kingdom of God in heaven here now on this earth for all. In the name of Yahshua Christus, with no apology. So all of these issues going on in Ivory Coast. Now, France is in Libya bombing. And France is in Ivory Coast bombing. All manner of atrocities going on in Ivory Coast, and no one saying anything about it in the mainstream. This time, France has chosen Ouattara over Gbagbo, and the elections that were held in 2000, the courts of Ivory Coast said Gbagbo won. Now the courts have said the same in 2011. The courts in Ivory Coast have said Gbagbo won again. Recall in the United States of North America, I forget which year, but the first election of George W. Bush, the courts stepped in and declared George W. Bush the winner. Suppose some outside force had come in and said, no, the Democratic Al Gore was running. Yeah, suppose some outside force had come in and said, no, not George Bush, Al Gore, and we're going to back Al Gore against George Bush, or something of that sort. Suppose that would have happened here in the United States of North America. Who would have tolerated such? So France, in Ivory Coast, meddling in foreign affairs, has chosen Ouattara over Gbagbo, and you see the forces loyal to Gbagbo fighting the forces loyal to Ouattara. But we know that the synagogue of Satan has armed all sides and loves warfare, because the weapons manufacturers make money, and the mineral mining resource corporations want to further secure the land, And so this is all orchestrated by the synagogue of Satan. Now let's come to the shores of the United States of North America and deal with some domestic affairs, because this is all connected. There is a worldwide fight against workers and poor people international, and everything we see going on outside of America is also occurring inside of the United States of North America by the same wicked forces, the synagogue of Satan. This government shutdown has temporarily been averted, if I have it correctly, is averted for another week. When April the 15th comes, I believe they're gonna see whether or not they're averted for another week or for a longer term. But the United States of North America, we are told, have a money problem. And we are told that we need to raise revenue. What are the solutions to this money problem? Does America really have a money problem? Is there a lack of money and resources? What's the problem and what's the solution? The solution, I want you to go to Democracy Now. I believe it is the April 7th edition of Democracy Now. And in a Nobel economist named Joseph Stiglitz appeared on Democracy Now, April the 7th, 2011 edition. And he said, look, the problem is revenues, but what's the solution? Two solutions he offered. You either provide jobs for the masses of the people of the United States of North America by providing well-paying jobs, I would say living wage jobs, then those jobs turn into purchases of homes, of cars, of all manner of consumer goods and items. And then you can generate property taxes and all manner of taxes and revenues, because the people have money to spend and the people have the monies to pay for the revenues needed in the United States of North America to run the United States of North America, to build infrastructure, to pay for health care, pay for education, and so on. Or you go to the wealthy 1%, 2%, and raise their taxes. You see, the wealthy, after about $100,000, $200,000, don't pay any taxes on monies over that ceiling. The wealthy own 95% of America's assets, control 90% and more of the land, wealth, and resources of America and the world. So you're going to have to go to them to get the monies that is needed to raise the revenues to pay for all that America needs. Now, this government shutdown that was averted temporarily, you have the Wisconsin Republican Congressman Ryan. His solution is cut the people, cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, destroy the people, give more tax breaks to the wealthy, more tax breaks to the corporations. And Obama is talking compromise. How are you going to compromise with such wicked plans? Senator Harry Reid said, we give and give to the Republican side. Senator Harry Reid is Democrat, and he was in negotiations with John Boehner, the Speaker of the House. He's a Republican. So Senator Harry Reid said in negotiations, they gave, the Democrats gave in and gave in to the Republicans. And the Republicans kept moving the goal, asking for $7 billion more in cuts, talking about issues such as Planned Parenthood getting monies, and because Planned Parenthood also has provide abortions, but the monies received from the government do not go to the abortion side. They go to other than the abortion provisions within Planned Parenthood. And so the Republicans want to make that an issue as well as other issues and say, shut the government down. Lay off hundreds of thousands of government workers. Gridlock. Destroy. Republicans just talking crazy. But Harry Reid said we give in, or Democrats give in and give in, and the Republicans move the post and move the post and ask for more cuts and more cuts. And Harry Reid say they gave in and gave in. And Obama talking about compromise with such wickedness. You see, what is going on is that the argument is moved so far from the left. It's no left. It's no center. It's no right. It's just all ultra, ultra right wing in the palm and in the bosom and in the lap of the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the synagogue of Satan. We say you cut nothing of the people. Don't cut Medicare. Matter of fact, health care, a human right, free for all. Education, a human right, free for all. And you see the synagogue of Satan coming through both Democrats and Republicans, coming through Republican governors and Democratic governors. Certainly we say Scott in Wisconsin, Republican. But we also say, I think Cuomo in New York. I think that may be a mayor. But we say in America, in California, Jerry Brown, he's a Democrat. So let's just focus on Scott in Wisconsin, Jerry Brown in California. Jerry Brown, a Democrat. Scott in Wisconsin, a Republican. Both of them cutting the people. Cutting the people, cutting the people, cutting the people. This is showing us that both parties are controlled by the synagogue of Satan. We're taking our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.